Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Grider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday night, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Grider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Tonight, the many appearances of Jesus Christ as the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament will astound you. Well, if you're a Bible believer, it will. The phrase angel of the Lord appears 64 times in your King James Bible. But there is indeed a difference between an angel and the angel of the Lord, as we will soon find out. The angel of the Lord appeared to Moses, Abraham, Jacob, Gideon, Manoah, just to name a few. The angel of the Lord is not the same as the angel Gabriel or the archangel Michael. Angels, the book of Hebrews tells us, are ministering spirits. But angels are not the angel of the Lord. That's Jesus Christ. Judges 6:22 says, "And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, 'Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face.'" On this episode of Rightly Dividing, we are looking at the numerous instances when Jesus Christ, as the angel of the Lord, shows up in the Old Testament. You can't see God, nobody ever has, but you can see his body, and that's Jesus Christ. This is why when you study this, you see people exclaiming that they have seen God and lived, when in fact what they have seen is his angel, Jesus Christ. Satan appears as an angel of light in his myriad attempts to mimic Jesus Christ. And one thing a Christian never wants to do is to be an imitator of Jesus Christ. Now, if you have the rubber sword of an ESV Bible, the official Bible of the Southern Baptist Convention, if you have an ESV Bible, you are commanded 6 different times to be an imitator of Jesus Christ, to which we say, no thank you. It is Satan who is the imitator of Jesus Christ. We are called to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. We're never called to be an imitation. If you've ever spent time in New York City on Fifth Avenue, and you've seen the imitation Gucci handbags and the imitation Rolex watches that you can buy for $10 a piece, do you really want to be an imitation Jesus Christ? Not if you're born again, you don't. So tonight, we go searching for the real deal pre-incarnate Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, and guess what? We find him with absolutely no difficulty at all. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a good service with a sweet spirit this morning. It was a blessing, Lord. It was a real blessing. And we thank you for showing up today. We ask you to show up tonight. We turn to you, God, as the author and the finisher of our faith. The Apostle Paul says in Acts 27, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and who I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all that sail with thee.'" Heavenly Father, with the Apostle Paul, let us say that the angel of God stands by us this night to provide and protect, to illuminate, to show the way, to give grace, to give mercy, to put food on the table, clothes on our back, and a roof over our heads. So, Father God, we thank you for all these that have gathered here tonight and for all the souls that will be listening in the archives. And we just ask you to show up, God, and give us a little more of yourself. If nobody wants you, God, we want you. Nobody wants your dusty old book? We'll take it. Nobody wants that boring, hard-to-understand Bible doctrine? You can pile it on our plate, Lord. We'll take every bit of it. It's not boring to us. It's exciting. It's more exciting than watching NASCAR or going mountain climbing or parachute jumping or swimming in the ocean. Nothing more exciting than the Word of God. Make it real. Make it plain, Lord. And we ask you to meet with us tonight, and we commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome, everybody. Glad you're here. Glad to see the chat room starting to fill up and hundreds of people coming online and tuning in. And people are listening across America, around the world. They're listening in Europe, in South America, in the Middle East. They're listening in Russia and Ukraine. They're listening in France and Spain and Germany and Canada, Argentina, Australia, Brazil. We're very, very grateful for that. And if you're new to this program, welcome to the NTEB family of believers. We are a small but mighty group and growing in number day after day. Tonight we're going to be looking at the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. We're going to pay a visit to Gideon. And we're going to find out why the Gideon Bible and Tract Society is named after Gideon. We're going to meet with Manoah and his wife as they are visited by the angel of the Lord with a prophecy on the birth of Samson. And we're going to be meeting with Jacob. We're going to be meeting with Jacob in Genesis 32. And we're going to see him get his thigh out of joint when he wrestles with the angel of the Lord. It's an exciting topic looking at all the angels in the Bible. We're going to look a little bit at the fallen angels. We're going to look at imitation angels like Satan. And of course, we're going to look at the angel, which is Jesus Christ. I hope you're looking forward to a good Bible study tonight. I hope you had a good day and a good afternoon. And I hope that you're ready to meet the angel of the Lord. Amen. Glad you're here tonight.
Oh Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world your hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou. How great. that God his Son not sparing sent him to die. I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in home and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great.
The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. That's New Testament. Is it possible that there are angels among us in 2021? Absolutely guaranteed. Now, we live in the church age. Today is not the day for us for signs, miracles, and wonders. But God is still performing miracles. God is still a wondrous God. The Bible says his name shall be called Wonderful, Mighty Counselor, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, the Almighty God. His name is Wonderful. That's enough of a wonder for me. But do angels walk among us in 2021? The Bible says, yes, they do. Now, we may not know who they are. But the writer of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul, says, be not careful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Now, I understand Hebrews is largely doctrine for the time of Jacob's trouble. I get that. And there's going to be angels visibly present during that seven-year time period. In fact, the last gospel that is ever preached on this earth, it's called the Everlasting Gospel. Revelation 14:6 says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. And here it is. Here's the everlasting gospel. saying with a loud voice, Revelation 14:7, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Do you realize that the last gospel that's ever preached is not going to be preached by a man? It's going to be preached by an angel. The last gospel that's ever preached does not mention the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Neither does it need to, because that's our gospel for the church age. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, that tells you what our gospel is. But our gospel is not the gospel of the time of Jacob's trouble. And the last gospel that's ever going to be preached is preached by an angel telling the people who live on earth to fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And the book of Revelation is filled with page after page of God's literal, visible, physical judgments upon this earth. Everywhere you look, from the Old Testament, from Genesis all the way up to the end of Revelation, there are angels everywhere you look. They are in every dispensation. And the Bible says that they are ministering spirits. In the same chapter, Hebrews chapter 1. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Tonight, we're looking at Manoah, Gideon, Jacob, Moses, the Apostle Paul. We are going to look at appearances in the Bible of the angel of the Lord that the Bible says is Jesus Christ. You're not going to read very many commentaries that understand that premise. But we are not Bible correctors, we are Bible believers. And tonight we are going to compare Scripture with Scripture, and we're going to see Jesus appearing as the angel of the Lord in Old and New Testament. Glad you're with us tonight. My way.
broken, faith for the widow, hope for the orphan, strength for the weak. Your love is the anthem of nations.
If you're just tuning in, tonight's topic is the many appearances of Jesus Christ as the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament will astound you. And we're going to focus tonight on three appearances of the angel of the Lord, and in no particular order. We're going to look at Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord and getting a name change upgrade. We're going to look at Manoah and his wife visited by the angel of the Lord. And they are going to have a prophecy about their upcoming son, Samson, who is going to take the vow of a Nazarite. And we're going to look at Gideon and some of the great things that God used Gideon to do. And we're going to see why the angel of the Lord paid a visit to Gideon. The angel of the Lord in the New Testament, post-resurrection, even made an appearance to the Apostle Paul. Angels are fascinating. Fallen angels are dangerous. Imitation angels are something you don't ever want to be. Here's a fun fact. All the angels in the Bible were men. Now, am I saying that there's no female angels in heaven? No, I'm not saying that. I am just simply saying when the Bible talks about the appearance of angels, it's always a man. And here's another fun fact. Angels in the Bible do not have wings. Now, a lot of the times, people confuse angels with seraphim and cherubim. Seraphim and cherubim, they have wings, but angels, they don't have any wings at all. They look just like men. And you have the angel Gabriel. You have the Archangel Michael in the book of Jude. We see that he's called the Archangel Michael. And then we have the angel of the Lord. There's the avenging angel. In 2 Kings, one angel took out 185,000 men in one night with one angel. There's the death angel in the Old Testament. On the night of the first Passover. Now, obviously, there's much more in the Bible about angels that we could squeeze into a 90-minute Bible study, but we're going to focus tonight on Jacob, Gideon, and Manoah. And they are three fascinating accounts. And I believe that you will be blessed. And learn something new about angels in the Bible. And of course, as we always do, There's going to be a lot of cross-referencing and bouncing around, and we're going to work very, very hard to give Jeanette a good keyboard workout tonight with posting scriptures, and we're so grateful that she does that on every program. And tonight, we're going to be looking Old Testament and New Testament. We're going to look at the angel of the Lord, and we're going to be getting started in just about 3 minutes.
You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready! Get ready!
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Heavenly Father, we come before you one more time and we ask for your blessing on tonight's service. We pray, Lord, lost souls, people who need salvation. We pray for Sarah and Rebecca, Greg and Melissa, Glenn, Cheyenne, Bridget, Tony, Matthew, Trevor, Derek, Adam, Jordan, another Matthew, John, Jimmy, and David. We pray, Lord, that you bless the people that are witnessing to these lost souls that they might be saved. Cindy Kettlecamp says that she's doing better. She still needs your prayers, but she's getting better, and she's so grateful for her NTEB family. Sammy in South Africa battling leukemia. Harmon's son Michael battling pancreatic cancer. Jesse Spurlock, Becky Markovich, Jerry Rogalski, all battling cancer. Paul Kreitz had a massive heart attack, and he's recovering, but slowly. Malia McLean, complications from Lyme disease. She needs a healing. Keith Ham's wife, Sherry, has stage 4 cancer. Hal needs a lung transplant. Elizabeth Unspoken, Jeanette's mom, Unspoken. Suzanne Wood, battling depression, diabetes, high blood pressure, pancreatitis. Dana's husband, lots of medical issues. May Samuels needs a healing. Alan Harden is asking for prayers for Charlie Harvey's health, family, and finances. Please remember our overseas pastors, Pastor Johnry, Danny, and Arnell in the Philippines, Pastor Fojon in Vietnam. Remember our NTEB street preachers, Jeffrey in Ohio, Kyle in Baton Rouge, Mike Hensel, remember him for a healing on his leg as well. Mike Hensel called to preach, Joshua Gaskins, Chesterfield, Virginia, Werner Bukes, Vancouver, Canada, Paul and Peggy Caulfield, Toronto, Canada, Marie, Philadelphia, Adrian, Toronto, Canada. I like how our list just grows and grows and grows, and people keep writing in saying, put me on the list. And we're grateful for that. Cheryl says, pray for the children. I'm hearing horrific stories involving children coming from the border. And there's any number of horror stories going on down there. Shannon says, pray for friend Dale still having issues. Jeanette said, pray for my friend Jonathan Bryant's daughter, who was drugged by a 1,100-pound steer last night. She has no brain damage, but a massive open cut on her leg and is one solid bruise from head to toe. Melissa says, prayer request for Patrick. Jesus is calling him, but he's fighting it tooth and nail. Phyllis says, my Catholic family invited us to come to their Halloween party. She believes in spirits on their property, not on my life. Pray that they get saved. You could always show up and hand out gospel tracts. Patty D says, arrive safely at mom's house this afternoon. Amen. Teresa says, please pray for my son's salvation, James, Frank, and Peter, and also for my mom, who was bedbound with kidney failure at 92 years young. I am her caregiver around the clock. I believe Jesus is calling her, but is fighting it. I remember taking care of my dad for about a year and a half back in 2003 and 2004. And if you've ever had the experience of being a full-time caregiver to a parent, it is absolutely exhausting, but it can also be very rewarding. Those were some of the best times I ever spent with my dad. And I have some precious memories from that. So Teresa is asking for prayers for her bedbound mom at 92. Lulu says, please add my lost family. Charlton says, prayer, priority, adjustments. Chrissy, still need prayer for my feet, which insurance won't cover the shockwave treatment. Aunt Nancy says, please lift up prayer for a young man I saw post a plea for help. He's considering taking his life. I prayed for him and he sent him this link tonight to listen. And we hope that he does listen. Mike 1611 says, pray for my kids and grandchildren. Kentucky Jeffrey says, unsaved sons and daughter-in-law. Gary 33 says, I sponsor an 8-year-old girl in Hai Lang, Vietnam. Please pray for her health and pray that she and her family can hear the gospel of the grace of God. The area that they live in, Christianity is banned. And maybe Jeanette can hook up Gary with Pastor Fojong. Pastor Fojong is one of our preachers overseas. And we recently sent him 3 cases of Bibles. And it took a number of weeks for those Bibles to get released to him, because Christianity is banned in Vietnam. So maybe Gary and Jeanette can get together, and maybe we can have Pastor Fojong bring the gospel to that 8-year-old girl. I think that would be a blessing. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts. Guest S says, please pray for my unsaved friend Andrew and his family. Lord, we ask you to do that which only you can do. We ask you to rule and overrule in all these situations. We ask you to rework everything, God, for your glory and for our good. Because if you get the glory, God, it will be good for us. In the Gospel of John, Jesus is talking to Peter. And Jesus tells Peter how he's going to bring glory to God. In John 21, Jesus says to Peter in verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou was young, thou girdest thyself and walkst whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. And Heavenly Father, we do want to follow you. And as we saw this morning, we are called and under the blood. We are chosen to testify the gospel of the grace of God, and we are to be faithful unto death, whether that is a natural death or a death due to persecution. We are to be faithful unto death, Father God. And Lord, we thank you for this time. We thank you for all these that you've gathered. And we commit this Bible study to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. About 20 minutes ago, I was looking through the emails. A lot of the times people will email me while the program's going on. And sometimes I can catch those emails and sometimes I can't. But I caught this one and it's really kind of interesting. It starts out, "Dear Jeffrey, my name is Keith Ham and I too live in St. Augustine. We've really not met. My wife and I first saw you handing out gospel tracts in front of a Columbia restaurant on St. George Street about 7 years ago, 2014. She and I, while professing to be lifelong born-again Christians, had at that time just started a process of rededicating our lives to Christ. It was about that time that my wife's mom got us listening to Jan Markell. Through Jan, we became awakened to Bible prophecy and started following the teachings of people like J.D. Farag, Tom Hughes, Amir Safadi, Jack Hobbs, Dave Reagan, Don Stewart, and writers like Terry James. Terry James over at Rapture Ready. And then Keith says, fast forward to 2021. Imagine my surprise as I'm driving to work and I see a billboard featuring Now the End Begins and to learn it's a bookstore in Palencia. Going to your website, I then realized that it was you who was handing out gospel tracts on St. George Street back on 2014 on St. George Street. He says, I hope to be able to stop by the bookstore and to meet you sometime. But please pray for my wife, Sherry, who is battling stage 4 cancer. And he says, my place is here, caring for her. Isn't that something? Keith and his wife saw me preaching on the street in 2014. God calls them to get back on fire for him. And in an enormous circle, they see me preaching on the street. They start listening to J.D. Farag, Tom Hughes, Amir Safadi, Jack Hobbs, Dave Regan, Don Stewart, Terry James. And then while they're reading Rapture Ready, they find Now the End Begins. And they live in the same town that I do. Isn't that an incredible story? This is why we preach and teach the gospel. This is why we go out into the streets and we hand out gospel tracts. Keith is talking about a time that took place 7 years ago. And here in 2021, it's bearing fruit. Do you see how God uses things for his glory? Isn't that amazing? And this is why you never worry about the results. You pray, you say, God, give me power to preach, give me power to teach. And you go out into the highways and hedges and you compel them to come in. And you hand out gospel tracts. And you don't worry what happens to the tract. Did they read it? Did they put it in their pocket? Sometimes people take a track, they put it in the glove compartment, and it stays there for 5 years. And then some stranger buys the car, reads the track, and gets saved. Cast your bread upon the waters, and you'll find it after many days. The word of God shall not return void, but will... And I don't remember the whole verse off the top of my head, but will accomplish the purpose whereunto it was sent. I think that's pretty close. But do you see how that works? Do you see that when you go out into the streets and you do something simple, like hand out gospel tracts and tell people about Jesus, that will continue to bear fruit for the rest of your life and after your life is done? I promise you that. It was a blessing and an encouragement to hear from Brother Keith tonight. I'm so glad that he reached out. Please pray for his wife, Cher. She has stage 4 cancer and he's her caregiver. So please keep them in prayer. But isn't it amazing? I told you, those billboards. People are paying attention to those billboards. People are paying attention to gospel preachers who go out into the streets and are willing to be a fool for Christ. If you want a pulpit, go grab some tracts and go down to your corner. Let that be your pulpit. So amen, Brother Keith. Thanks for reaching out tonight. Thank you for writing. And we will continue. We have started to pray for your wife tonight. And we will continue to pray for her. Thank you for letting us know. We very much appreciate that. All right, let's get started with tonight's topic. We are looking at the appearances of the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. And I think we're going to start with Judges chapter 13. And we're going to look at a man by the name of Manoah. And God has a job for them to do. So let's start reading in Judges 13. We're going to read most of the chapter. And the children, Judges 13, verse 1, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor, this is Samson, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me, and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. So let's just stop there for a second in Judges 13:6. The woman does the right thing. She doesn't deal with the angel herself. The Bible tells us that the man is under Jesus Christ and the woman is under the man. And it is the man's job to look out for that woman. It is the man's job to protect that woman and provide for that woman. And when the angel of the Lord appears to Manoah's wife, she comes running to her husband and she says, A man of God came unto me and his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very terrible. Not terrible like if you taste something bad or you're drinking spoiled milk. We say that tastes terrible, but the word terrible means able to induce terror. That's literally what the word terrible means. Terror able, terrible. And this woman, she comes running to her husband and she says, I saw an angel. It was like a man. But it was some kind of a Superman. And his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terror able. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said unto me, Behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and now drink no wine nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for a child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. And the vow of the Nazarite is they could not eat grapes, they could not drink wine, and they could not cut their hair. That was the vow of a Nazarite. So, what was the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden? Certainly not an apple. It is highly likely that the forbidden fruit, and one night we'll do a Bible study on this, it is highly likely that the fruit that Eve ate in the garden was some beautiful, luscious, red grapes. Because here, in Judges chapter 13, the angel of God is telling Mrs. Manoah to take the vow of a Nazarite. And she can't have grapes, she can't drink wine. What does Proverbs 20 verse 1 say? Wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Makes me kind of mad when Christians say, it's okay to drink wine. And it amazes me. Did God put Proverbs 20 verse 1 into the Bible for no reason at all? Is Proverbs 20 verse 1 not true? The Bible says that wine is a mocker. Not some wine. All wine is a mocker. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, somebody will say to me, well, I have liberty to drink wine with my meal. And the answer is, absolutely. You do have liberty. If you want to drink wine, drink wine. But the Bible says, 1 Peter 2:16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. You do have liberty to drink wine. Just remember, whether you believe it or not, wine will mock you. And that's a guarantee. So back in Judges chapter 13, Mrs. Manoah comes running to her husband and she tells him everything that happened. And in Judges 13:8, Manoah goes to the Lord. Judges 13:8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us, and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened unto the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field, but Manoah her husband was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband, and said unto him, Behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. And Manoah arose and went after his wife, and came to the man and said unto him, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, he said, I am. Judges 13:11, Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And he said, I am. Any doubts about who this angel is? This angel is absolutely the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ. This is the angel of God. This is the angel of the Lord. This is the great I am. Verse 12 says, "And Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? And how shall we do unto him?" And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, "Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, no grapes, neither let her drink wine or strong drink." There's your Proverbs 20 verse 1. "Nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe." And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, "I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee." And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, "Though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. And if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it unto the Lord." For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, "What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor?" And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret?" So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. And Manoah and his wife looked on. Are you starting to see the little clues? Verse 13 says, verse 11 of Judges 13, "Are thou the man that spakest unto the woman?" And he, the angel, said, "I am." Verse 19 says, "And the angel did wondrously." Isaiah 9:6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful." Here you have in Judges 13, you have an angel saying that he is I am. You have an angel saying that an angel doing wondrously, while Manoah and his wife look on. And with that, we have to take our first break of the night. I don't know about you, but this is really getting me all revved up. This is exciting stuff. I love learning about it's fun to learn about the deep things. It's fun to learn about the surface things. And it's fun to learn about everything that's in between. We'll be right back in about 3 minutes. Don't go away. In Jeremiah 6:16, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." But they said, "We will not walk therein." Here at Now the End Begins, we like the old ways, we like the old paths, we like the old book, the Lion of the Reformation, the King James 1611 Authorized Version Holy Bible. Now the End Begins is one of those rare ministries, whether you like us or don't like us, we are one of those rare ministries that stand on the King James Bible alone as the source of our authority. We play the old music and we walk in the old paths. I'm very glad that you're with us tonight. We're looking at the angel of the Lord appearing to Manoah and his wife with a prophecy about the child Samson. And before the break, we showed you verse number 11. Manoah is talking to the angel and says, "Art thou the man that spakest unto the woman?" And he said, "I am." And then in verse 19, Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock to the Lord. And the angel did wondrously. There's your Isaiah 9:7 right there. His name shall be called Wonderful. And Manoah and his wife looked on. Verse 20, "For it came to pass, when the flame went up towards heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it, and fell on their faces to the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife," verse 22, "we shall surely die, because we have seen God." But his wife said unto him, "If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering at our hands. Neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would as at this time have told us such things as these." And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan, between Zorah and Eshtol. So here in Judges chapter 13, we see an amazing appearance of Jesus Christ to Manoah and his wife with a prophecy of the child Samson. Jesus Christ as the angel of the Lord. Now turn to Judges chapter 6. Turn to Judges chapter 6. We're going to meet somebody named Gideon. And Gideon is an amazing man of God. Judges chapter 6, verse 7. Well, verse 6, Judges 6, 6. "And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and delivered you out of the hands of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed his voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under the oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt, but now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites? So here we have Joash and his son Gideon, and they're being brutally oppressed by the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, appears to Gideon. And he says unto Gideon, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Isn't that something? Gideon is not a mighty man of valor. Gideon is threshing wheat and hiding it from his enemies that he's afraid of. So why does the angel of the Lord call Gideon a mighty man of valor? Because Gideon is about to do great and mighty things. Judges 6:14 says, And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Gideon is afraid. Gideon is not a mighty man of valor, but he's about to become one because he's met the angel of the Lord. Do you remember what God said to Joshua? Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. This was Dr. Ruckman's favorite verse. When Dr. Ruckman signed my Bible, he wrote Joshua 1, 9 right next to his name. Joshua 1, 9 says, Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. Neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. And that's what the Lord said to Joshua in Joshua 1:9. Shannon says, Amazing what happens to us after we meet the Lord. Amen. Amen. And back in Judges chapter 6, he says, in verse 15, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Remember when God appeared to Moses, and he told Moses that he was going to go testify before Pharaoh? And what did Moses do? He started giving excuses. He says, I'm not a good talker. And I trip over my words and I stutter. I can't do the talking. And God said, No problem. Your brother Aaron can do the talking. Now you show me in the Bible where Aaron did the talking. When God gets a hold of you, that makes all the difference. I've told you many times the first time that I went out street preaching and I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. God called me to go preach on St. George Street, the same place where Brother Keith and his wife saw me way back in 2014. But back on March 24th of 2012, God called me to go preach on St. George Street, where there were thousands of people. But I didn't go to St. George Street right away. I went to the fishing pier. And I went to the fishing pier because there was only about 25 people. And I went and I preached for 5 minutes. And I handed out my gospel tracts. And I got back to the car. And I said, "Amen, Lord." And God said, "Oh, no, you don't. Don't amen that. I called you to St. George Street. Now you get it. You start up the car and you go preach where I told you to preach." And I've shared that story with you many times. But let me tell you something. I drove down there with my knees knocking together. Nobody advising me, nobody helping me. Even the pastor at my own church, no help at all. But I went in the strength and the power of the Lord. And right from that very first day, when I opened my mouth to preach the gospel, God used it and God blessed it. And that's how I knew it was God and not me. Because God took away my fear. God gave me strength that I didn't have. Now, don't laugh at Gideon from Judges chapter 6, where the angel of the Lord addresses Gideon as a mighty man of valor, and he's hiding from the Midianites. Don't make fun of Gideon, because Gideon is a picture of me and you before the Lord gets a hold of us. And if you let the Lord get a hold of you, he'll open your mouth. He'll give you the words to say. He'll give you the people to listen. And his Holy Spirit will do the convicting. And let me tell you something. Over the last 12 years that I've been doing Now the End Begins, God has given me buckets and buckets and buckets of fruit from this ministry for his kingdom. And every time God makes another deposit in that bucket, it reminds me that it's him and not me. Because God does things that I can't do. And he blesses the work that he calls you to do. Back in Judges chapter 6, verse 15, "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel?" Gideon's not seeing it. And in verse 16, the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, "I will tarry until thou come again." And Gideon went in, and made ready a kid, and on 11 cakes of an ephah of flour, the flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, "Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock." Amen. Amen. "Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock." Oh man, I could stop right here and I could preach for another 30 minutes about that rock, that stumbling stone. If he falls on you, you'll be ground into powder. But if you fall on him, you'll be broken and remade. And God here in Judges 6:20 says, "Take your offering of the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth." And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh of the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rocks and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, "Alas, Lord, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face." And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die." Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezerites. Now, this is how Gideon became a mighty man of valor. In God's sight, the weak, timid, afraid, hiding from his enemies, Gideon, was a mighty man of valor because the angel of the Lord was about to do something for him that he could not do for himself. Look at verse 27. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was. Because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And Gideon went on to be a mighty man of valor. Look down in verse 33. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. Verse 36 says, And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, and he lays a fleece before God, Behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Gideon is a tough sell. God has already appeared to him multiple times, and now he is putting his fleece out before God. Isn't Gideon a whole lot like me and you? God tells us what to do. God confirms it, what we should do. God witnesses to us what we should do. God sends people into our life to confirm what we should do. And we want to put a fleece before the Lord God because we're not sure what we should do. But Gideon puts a fleece before the Lord, and the Lord honors his request. And verse 40 says, And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. And then if you keep reading into Judges chapter 7, and you're going to read about Gideon's chosen men, 300 men, and the hand of the Lord is going to be with Gideon every step of the way. And God is going to make Gideon a mighty man of valor. And that's exactly what he does. And God gives Gideon the victory. So here in Judges chapter 6, just like Judges 13, we see the angel of the Lord coming to Gideon, calling him a mighty man of valor, and then turning him into one. Do you remember where you were before you met Jesus Christ? Scared and alone. No strength, no power. And then you met the Lord Jesus Christ and everything changed. Romans chapter 5 says this. Verse 6, For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In due time, Christ died for the ungodly when we were yet without strength. You and I are a lot like Gideon. And when we meet the angel of the Lord, when we got saved, you do realize that the angel of the Lord is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ appeared to Manoah and his wife. Jesus Christ appeared to Gideon. Now turn to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. And we're going to look at a man named Jacob. And Jacob, and every time I say this, I always get email from people who get upset when I say that the name Jacob means someone who is a deceiver, somebody who is a supplanter. And every time that I mention the name Jacob and what it means, people write to me and they say, "How dare you say that the name Jacob means deceiver? I named my son Jacob." Well, that may be true, but the meaning is the meaning. And the Bible says that Jacob, well, he was a deceiver. He lied to his father. He lied to his brother. He lied to Laban. He lied to just about everybody. And his mother helped him. But God didn't leave him in that condition. Southern Bell says, "Jacob was such a perfect picture of Israel in and of himself. He was a mess." And that's why, here's a little fun fact for you. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 5 through 7, if Jeanette would post those verses, Jeremiah 30, 5 through 7, it talks about the time of Jacob's trouble. Have you ever wondered why Jeremiah doesn't say the time of Israel's trouble? Jacob's name had long been changed to Israel by the time that God had Jeremiah writing his prophecies. But have you ever wondered why the prophet Jeremiah said the time of Jacob's trouble and not the time of Israel's trouble? Because Jacob is what God called Israel when Israel was backslidden, when Israel was going back to the groves and going back to idol worship. God would call them Jacob. But when Israel was doing the right thing, God would call them Israel. And the reason why it's called the time of Jacob's trouble is because when it happens, Israel is backslidden before the Lord. And God looks down and doesn't see Israel, which means prince with God. God looks down and sees Jacob. God sees the supplanter, the deceiver. And so the Holy Spirit has Jeremiah write, "For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Israel right now is Jacob. There is no fear in Israel of the Lord their God. They're not following God from the Old Testament. They're not following God from the New Testament. Israel has no fear of God. They have been cast off temporarily. And that's what the time of Jacob's trouble is going to do for the Jewish people. The time of Jacob's trouble is going to be God's judgment on his own people. Romans 11:9 said, "Let their table be made a snare, a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their backs away." The time of Jacob's trouble is how God is going to redeem his people. And then Paul says, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." Jeremiah says that during this time, Israel will be counted as Jacob. The Apostle Paul says, during this time, Israel shall be counted as Jacob. And with that, we have to take our last break of the night. And when we come back, we're going to look at Jacob getting a name change, getting a name upgrade. And we're going to see him wrestling with the angel of the Lord. We'll be right back in 2 minutes and 18 seconds.
So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone.
So send I you to leave your life's ambition, to die to dear desire, self-will resign.
So send I you
to lose your life in mine.
So send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see, to spend though it be blood, to spend and spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary as the Father has sent me. So
we are back for the last half hour of tonight's Bible study on the appearances of the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. 1 John 1:4 tells us, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." And the Bible tells us that if you come across a spirit, you are to try that spirit to see if that spirit be of God. Now, in 2021, how do you test the spirits in 2021? you test the spirits by comparing what you are presented with to the Word of God. You do not judge the Word of God by your experiences. You judge your experiences by the Word of God. And when you do that, you will prevent yourself from being sucked up into a false doctrine, a false teaching. Many people have wound up in cults because they believed spirits that they were presented with without testing those spirits against the Word of God. And we've told you many times how they change the Word of God in the ESV and ASV and the NIV and the Message and Good News for Modern Man and all the rest of that stuff. We told you many, many times, you need to get yourself a King James Bible. Now, sometimes people will say to me, I would like a King James Bible, but I can't afford one. That's why we have the NTEB Free Bible and Gospel Tract Program. If you're listening to the sound of my voice right now, and you would like a King James Bible, but you don't have the money for one, just go to BibleBeliever.com and click on the tab in the top navigation bar that says Free. And we'll send you a King James Bible in English. We'll send you a King James Bible in Spanish. And we'll send you some sample gospel tracts as well. Go to BibleBeliever.com, click on the button that says Free. And if you can't afford one, we'll send you one completely for free. You don't even have to pay the shipping. Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. Let's take a look at Jacob. Jacob is dealing with his brother, and his brother Esau is about to catch up with him. Now, Jacob, because he has a massively guilty conscience, he thinks his brother is going to mess him up. He thinks his brother is going to seek revenge. And Jacob is afraid. And the reason why Jacob is afraid, because Jacob knows that he's a deceiver, a supplanter. And Jacob is not looking forward to meeting up with his brother. And in Genesis 32, it says, starting in verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And in verse 28, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. So Jacob gets an upgrade, just like Gideon got an upgrade. And Gideon became a mighty man of valor. Jacob becomes a mighty man of God. And Jacob, in verse 29, asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? Remember back in Judges 13, Manoah wanted to know his name, and he said, I can't tell you my name, it's secret. But he gave him clues in verse 11 and verse 19 of Judges 13. And here Jacob says, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he says, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh, unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. So here we have in Genesis chapter 32, the angel of the Lord, which is Jesus Christ. And he is meeting with Jacob. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat the 12 sons that became the 12 tribes of Israel. And so all through the Old Testament, we see appearances of the angel of the Lord. Now let's take a look at one in the New Testament. Turn to Acts chapter 27. Turn to Acts chapter 27. And let's see the Apostle Paul meeting up with the angel of the Lord. Now we know that Paul met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. And here in Acts chapter 27, Paul is in a ship and he's sailing to Rome. And as the ship goes about its journey, in verse 4 of Acts 27, it says, "And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy and put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmone. And hardly passing it, it came into a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh unto where was the city of Lycia. Now when much time was spent and the sailing was dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. And he said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only to the lading of the ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul." And of course, we know what happens. The ship runs into some big problems. But the angel of the Lord is about to meet with Paul and to let him know that everything is going to be all right. Starting in verse 21 of Acts 27. "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." So here in Acts chapter 27, we see the Apostle Paul is visited by the angel of God. And Paul says, "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." So what are angels? Angels are ministering spirits sent forth on behalf of them that shall be heirs of salvation. Paula White says this about angels being released from Africa.
Strike and 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 strike until you have victory. For every enemy that is aligned against you, let there be that we would strike the ground, for you will give us victory, God. I hear a sound of abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of shouting and singing. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. I hear a sound of an abundance of rain. I hear a sound of victory. The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done. The Lord says it is done. For I hear victory, 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 victory in the quarters of heaven. In the quarters of heaven, victory, 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 victory. For angels are being released right now. Angels are being dispatched right now. Amanda Aka.
All right. I just wanted that clip to get to the part where she talked about angels are being released. Paula White, she may or may not be aware of it, but she's talking about fallen angels. There is no way with the false gospel that she preaches, there is no way she's talking about the angel of the Lord. She's talking about fallen angels. I've heard some preachers preach that the archangel Michael, turn to the book of Jude. Turn to the book of Jude for a moment. And in the book of Jude, it talks about the archangel Michael. Look in verse 9, Jude 1:9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Now, how do you know that Michael, the archangel, the angel that stands for the children of Israel, the Bible says, how do we know that Michael is not Jesus Christ? There are people who teach that. Take a listen to this clip from 2 years ago.
And it's interesting because even the archangel Michael, I believe, is Jesus himself. Michael, who is like God? A sign to fight for Israel, a sign to lead them into the land. Jesus himself, if he walked them into the land, will he forget about them later? Never. And just as he never forgot about his own people, whom he foreknew, he will never forget about you. And just as he so much into fulfilling his promises to people who forgot about him, how much more he will be about fulfilling his promises to you. The only thing you need to do is this. Lord, I pray.
So that was a clip from about 2 years ago of Amir Safadi teaching that the archangel Michael is Jesus Christ. And fortunately, he was able to recover from that very wrong teaching. And Amir got his theology straightened out. But he's not the only one. I have heard over the years many people teach that the archangel Michael is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not the archangel Michael. And one of the ways that you know that is in verse 9 of Jude, it says, "The Lord rebuke thee," capital L, small o, small r, small d. Michael the archangel is saying, "The Lord rebukes you," the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father is all capital letters. Jesus Christ is Lord with a capital L. Michael cannot possibly be Jesus Christ. Cannot possibly be. This is why it is so important to rightly divide the Bible. Now, Carey is saying that angels are created beings. Jesus is the creator. Absolutely right. But Jesus Christ appeared as an angel, as a messenger, and he had messages to give to Gideon, Manoah, Manoah's wife, Jacob. So this is why you have to be very, very careful. Mighty Little Lion says that the Jehovah's Witnesses teach that the Archangel Michael is Jesus Christ. Harold Camping used to teach that the Archangel Michael is Jesus Christ. But Michael, I guarantee you that Michael is not Jesus Christ, which is why in Jude 1:9, it says, "Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, The Lord rebuke thee." Michael the archangel turned it over to Jesus Christ. So this is what we see when we look in the Bible. Now, you know that you're not looking at an angel if you meet a fallen angel. A fallen angel is not an angel of God. A fallen angel is an angel that has decided to follow the devil. If you meet a female angel, that is not an angel of God. Because in the Bible, all the angels that God talks about in any dispensation are male angels. If you see an angel that has wings, that is not an angel of God. None of the angels in the Bible display wearing wings. They're wingless. They're men. They're not women. Now, could there be female angels in heaven? Absolutely. The Bible doesn't talk about them, so you would just have to assume that as a possibility. I certainly can't rule that out. But the Bible shows you a couple of thousand years of God interacting with human beings, and every time that God sends an angel, it's always a man and never has wings. If you were to go to Google Images right now, and if you were to type in angels, just about every single picture that you would get would be pictures of female winged angels. I just went to Google and I typed in the word angels, and I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 pictures of female angels wearing wings that came up on the first page of Google Images. Carrie says, no wings and no ranch dressing. But make sure you have the celery sticks. Well, we've about come to the end of our time for tonight. Karen is saying, can I repeat what I said about the Lord and the Lord? Absolutely. When the Bible is talking about Jesus Christ, it in 9.5 out of 10 times, the Lord with a capital L is Jesus Christ. And when the Bible talks about God the Father, it says Lord with all capital letters. And that's a really good rule of thumb. If you see Lord capitalized, in the vast majority of cases, it's talking about Jesus Christ. if you see the word Lord with all four letters capitalized, it is talking about God the Father. Now, something really, really interesting. Turn to Revelation chapter 19 and look at verse 16. Revelation 19:16. And I want to show you what the Bible says talking about Jesus Christ. Revelation 19:16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, all capital letters, and Lord of Lords, all capital letters. You see what the Bible did here? The Bible gave a title of God to Jesus Christ. Isn't that an amazing thing? Revelation 19:16, talking about Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he is King of Kings, all capital letters, and he is Lord of Lords, all capital letters. Now, how can that be? Because Jesus Christ is the manifest image of God. Because Jesus Christ is the body of God the Father. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God the Father never leaves heaven. But God the Father has a body. And in that body, God will travel. And when you see Jesus Christ face to face, Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Southern Bell is asking, was Paul speaking of this on Jesus' thigh when he wrote, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? All right, let's pull up that verse. I think we have time to answer one more question. 1 Timothy 6:15. 1 Timothy 6:15. Let's start in verse 13. 1 Timothy 6:13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So here, when Paul's talking to Timothy, he is showing him the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is comparing him to God the Father. And he is showing you that they are one. And that's why when you get to Revelation 19:16, and what Paul says, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in the book of Revelation, it's all capitalized. And God is showing you that Jesus Christ and God the Father, they are one and the same. They are separate, but they are the same. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then Jesus says, for no man has seen God at any time. But you can see the body of God. The body of God is Jesus Christ. You haven't seen the soul. You haven't seen God the Father in heaven. But if you've seen Jesus Christ, The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the manifest and express image of God the Father. And with that, we've come to the end of our time. I thank you so much for tuning in today. I thank you for being part of this program. And Lord willing, we're going to see you back here tomorrow at noon Eastern time for another edition of our Prophecy News podcast. We got some crazy stuff to talk about tomorrow. Some unbelievable stuff. And we hope that you'll tune in. Thank you for being part of the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers. Lord willing, we'll see you back here noon Eastern Standard Time tomorrow. In the meantime, speaking of King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that's my King. Do you know him? Good night, everybody.
The Bible says my King is the King of the Jews. He's the King of Israel. He's the King of righteousness. He's the King of the ages. He's the King of heaven. He's the King of glory. He's the King of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him, but yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him.